So far, it's all been an easy setup. She's now ready to use the art of deception. She calls the customer service department of the company. "I'm with collections in the Cleveland office," she says, and then launches into a variation on the by now familiar excuse. "My computer is being fixed by technical support, and I need your help looking up this information." And she goes on to provide the name and date of birth of the person whose identity she is intent on stealing. Then, she lists the information she wants. Address, mother's maiden name, card number, credit limit, available credit, and payment history. "Call me back at this number," she says, giving the internal extension number that the voicemail administrator set up for her. "And if I'm not available, just leave the information on my voicemail." She keeps busy with errands for the rest of the morning, and then checks her voicemail that afternoon. It's all there, everything she asked for. Before hanging up, Shirley clears the outgoing message. It would be careless to leave a recording of her voice behind. And identity theft, the fastest growing crime in America, the in crime of the new century, is about to have another victim. Shirley uses the credit card and identity information she just obtained and begins running up charges on the victim's card. Analyzing the con. In this ruse, the attacker first duped the company's voicemail administrator into believing she was an employee, so that he would set up a temporary voicemail box. If he bothered to check at all, he would have found that the name and telephone number she gave matched the listings in the corporate employee database. The rest was simply a matter of giving a reasonable excuse about a computer problem, asking for the desired information, and requesting that the response be left on voicemail. And why would any employee be reluctant to share information with a coworker? Since the phone number that Shirley provided was clearly an internal extension, there was no reason for any suspicion. Mitnick message. Try calling your own voicemail once in a while. If you hear an outgoing message that's not yours, you may have just encountered your first social engineer. The helpful secretary. Cracker Robert Jorday had been regularly breaking into the computer networks of a global company, Rodolfo Shipping Incorporated. The company eventually recognized that someone was hacking into their terminal server, and that through that server, the user could connect to any computer system at the company. To safeguard the corporate network, the company decided to require a dial-up password on every terminal server. Robert called the Network Operations Center, posing as an attorney with the legal department, and said he was having trouble connecting to the network. The network administrator he reached explained that there had been some recent security issues, so all dial-up access users would need to obtain the monthly password from their manager. Robert wondered what method was being used to communicate each month's password to the managers and how he could obtain it. The answer, it turned out, was that the password for the upcoming month was sent in a memo via office mail to each company manager. That made things easy. Robert did a little research, called the company just after the first of the month, and reached the secretary of one manager, who gave her name as Janet. He said, "Janet, hi. This is Randy Goldstein in Research and Development. I know I probably got the memo with this month's password for logging into the terminal server from outside the company, but I can't find it anywhere. Did you get your memo for this month?" "Yes," she said, "she did get it." He asked her if she would fax it to him, and she agreed. He gave her the fax number of the lobby receptionist in a different building on the company campus, where he had already made arrangements for faxes to be held for him, and would then arrange for the password fax to be forwarded. This time, though, Robert used a different fax forwarding method. He gave the receptionist a fax number that went to an online fax service. When this service receives a fax, the automated system sends it to the subscriber's email address. The new password arrived at the email dead drop that Robert set up on a free email service in China. He was sure that if the fax was ever traced, the investigator would be pulling out his hair trying to gain cooperation from Chinese officials, who he knew were more than a little reluctant to be helpful in matters like this. Best of all, he never had to show up physically at the location of the fax machine. Mitnick message. The skilled social engineer is very clever at influencing other people to do favors for him. Receiving a fax and forwarding it to another location appears so harmless that it's all too easy to persuade a receptionist or someone else to agree to do it. When somebody asks for a favor involving information, if you don't know him or can't verify his identity, just say no. Traffic court. Probably everyone who has ever been given a speeding ticket has daydreamed about some way of beating it. Not by going to traffic school, or simply paying the fine, or taking a chance on trying to convince the judge about some technicality, like how long it has been since the police car speedometer or the radar gun was checked. No, the sweetest scenario would be beating the ticket by outsmarting the system. The con. Although I would not recommend trying this method of beating a traffic ticket, as the saying goes, don't try this at home, still, this is a good example of how the art of deception can be used to help the social engineer. Let's call this traffic violator Paul Duryea. First steps. LAPD, Hollenbeck Division. Hi, I'd like to talk to the subpoena control. I'm the subpoena clerk. Fine. This is Attorney John Leland of Meacham, Meacham & Talbot. I need to subpoena an officer on a case. Okay. Which officer? Do you have Officer Kendall in your division? What's his serial number? 21349. Yes. When do you need him? Sometime next month. But I need to subpoena several other witnesses on the case and then tell the court what days will work for us. Are there any days next month Officer Kendall won't be available? Let's see. He has vacation days on the 20th through the 23rd, and he has training days on the 8th and 16th. Thanks. That's all I need right now. I'll call you back when the court date is set. Municipal Court.